Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As the jazz stylings of Peggy Lee began to fade away, a new group of female voices emerged from Hitsville, USA. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It was 1964 that the Supremes unleashed their brand of soulful pop on the world with this song. Throughout the group's tenure, founding member Mary Wilson was the sole constant and has since been the most active, performing for audiences around the world for decades. This week, she's back in our arms again. Her latest show, Up Close, is currently at Feinstein's at the Regency, and Mary Wilson joins us today to talk about her momentous career. Mary, for most people, Peggy Lee would be a tough act to follow, but...
But you know what? I love Peggy Lee. And that song, Is That All There Is? Is That All There Is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. All my friends would say, and bring out the booze. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great.
Well, you know, that the whole Peggy Lee thing was a creation. You know, she was someone else, and this was a creation. What about the Supremes? Was that something that was kind of manufactured that way too?
No. I'm so happy to say that we started out as the Primettes. I can't see you. Let me just look over this way. Now I can see you. We started out, we being four members. It was Diane, Florence, Betty, and myself, and we were called the Primettes. We started singing when we were, well, the three of us were like 12 and a half years old. Betty was a little older than we were. And we actually started in elementary school at a pop concert. They wanted to, I guess, just kind of do something for the year's end. And they said, any of the students who want to, join this show, sign up. So I had just seen Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers on Ed Sullivan's show, I think it was, something like that. And I said, oh, I'm going to do this. Now, I had never really thought about being a singer in my life, not really. You know, I just wanted to do it because it looked like it was fun. And I got up there and I pantomimed to I'm not a juvenile delinquent by the Teenagers. Yes, I was crazy for those guys. And so on the same show was Florence Ballard, and she sung Ave Maria. And so afterwards, we didn't really know each other. We got together and said, my gosh, she says, you had the crowd just going. And I said, your voice is so fantastic. And we became friends. And she happened to have known some guys who were putting a group together, a girl group. And she asked me, she said, they want to put a group together. Would you like to be a part? I'm like, yeah. Mm. And so that's how I got in with the Supremes.
Now, you know, Peter Richmond was telling us that for Peggy Lee, music was a way out of some, you know, pretty hard times as a kid. I mean, growing up on the hard scrabble streets of Detroit, was music for you and for Florence and Diana, was it the same thing?
It's often been said that because of where we grew up, and I don't know, I think we were too young to even understand that. You know, we were only 13 years old. It was just something we did because we did well. And I would imagine later on, it was really a great move. My mother had saved up her little welfare checks to send me to college, you know, and I was so into going to Motown Records that I'm like, give that to my sister. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go to college. I want to sing. And that's kind of how I got into it.
We're speaking with Mary Wilson, the constant member of the Supremes over the years. Now, in your new show at Feinstein's at the Regency, you are doing the song I'm Changing from Dreamgirls.
Yes.
Now, when you first, I assume you saw it when it was on Broadway all those years ago.
And I've been singing it since I saw it on Broadway. And always, as I mentioned earlier, Florence Ballard, and she really, for me, was the founding member of the Supremes. When I first saw the play, I fell in love with that song. And I I felt that this was a song that if Florence Ballard were still alive, she would be singing, because she had this huge talent, this great talent that really our Supreme fans around the world are not that aware of her talent. I mean, she really, and so everyone asked me about this movie Dreamgirls. Well, is it really the story of the Supremes? No, it's not the story of the Supremes, but you know, they have used our legacy and our histories to, I guess, you know, put together a movie or a play or whatever.
It was an inspiration.
Inspiration for it, right. Even though with the movie, they kind of went further and added our album covers and added things to it. But anyway, you know, I feel it was an inspiration for them to write it. And the closest thing to the Supremes, I would say, is that Florence Ballard element where, you know, the Jennifer Hudson character, Effie, was kind of really, really, really very, very close to Florence Ballard. I mean, she could sing, and then, you know, she was put out the group and, you know, all that. So that would be, for me, the part that's really kind of real. So when I sing that song every night, I say, you know, I dedicated it to Florence's memory, because she was that kind of person. She only, unlike the movie, she passed away. She mm-hmm. did not have a happy ending in her life. So I sing it, you know, because I want people to know how great she really was.
Let's hear a little bit. Mary Wilson, I'm Changing, from her album Up Close.
I am changing, trying everything I can. I'm changing, I'll be better than I am, but I need a friend to help me start all over again. I need you. I need a hand. I am changing. I'm seeing everything so clear. I'm changing. Gonna start right now and right here.
That is my guest, Mary Wilson, and her recording of I'm Changing, which, as she told us, is her tribute to fellow Supreme founder Florence Ballard. And it comes from the album Up Close, also the name of your show at Feinstein's.
Yes, actually, this is a live version from San Francisco's Plush Room. And it was the first time I had done this Up Close show. The Up Close show is all about me.
It's all about you, Mary. It's all about you.
Well, and I say that actually not humbly, but
you know, Go ahead, try to make that sound humble.
I know. That's why I've got to explain it. All my life, you know, since I was 13, I've always said we. I enjoyed being a Supreme. I always sang the oohs and the ahs behind the lovely Diana Ross, Florence and I, and the Baby Babies, you know. And I always said we. It was always we all my life. It's been we. And I said, well, you know, maybe it's time for me to do something that I feel I do well. And I said, my fans love me singing ballads, and, you know, I'm going to try it. So I put together this show of all ballads. My favorite ballads, Is That All There is going to be in that show as well. Mm-hmm. But just songs I had grown up listening to, or just songs I feel that I sing well. And I wrote it to myself. And I said, well, let's take it on the road. And the first time I got a gig was in San Francisco, and I recorded it live because I didn't know if I would ever do it again. So I just, you know, said, let me record it, and then, you know. But I got such a great response. They held me over for 3 weeks, you know, and people said, we want you to do more. So I started really, you know, booking myself, and here I am at Feinstein's. Hey.
Through June 30th. And details are on the soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. So in addition to that song, I mean, classics. Charlie Chaplin, Smile,
yes,
Body and Soul.
Yes, yes.
I even, Girl from Ipanema.
Some Brazilian song, Mascarenhada, which I really enjoy singing. So I wrote this song, to show my... sort of travels as well as tell the story of my life. So by the end of the show, I end up with Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell. Hmm. And it sums up how I've looked at life. And I say, this girl was brilliant. She wrote this song, you know, back in the 60s. How did she know all of this then? I'm only just finding it out. I'm like, oh, now I understand that song, you know, after 40-some years. So the show is really biographical, and I'm very proud of it. I do sing one Supreme song. I said, I'm only going to do one Supreme song on this show, you know, because the fans come out and they got to have something. But basically, that's why I say it's all about me. It's about who I am as a vocalist, trying to even find myself as a vocalist.
Mm-hmm. I just have to ask, which Supreme song do you sing as part of the show?
That's what everyone wants to know.
Or is it the same one every night, or do you change it?
Pretty much the same one. I don't do Reflections. I do My World is Empty Without You, because I wanted to do a song that fit into the format of the show.
Right.
You know, so that's why I chose that one.
But much of the show features some absolute standards from the American, what they call the Great American Songbook.
Songbook, yes.
Like this one, Body and Soul, from Mary Wilson.
I'm all for you, body and soul. I spend my days in longing and wonder why it's me you're wronging, and I tell you I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul. I can't believe it, it's hard to conceive it, that you took away my romance.
That's Mary Wilson doing Body and Soul from her show called Up Close, which is running through the end of June at Feinstein's at the Lowe's Regency here in New York. It is, as Mary told us, an opportunity for her to kind of snag the spotlight and keep it for a while,
yeah.
Which, as you said before, is not something that you were quick to do, you know, with the Supremes, even when Diana Ross left.
Well, you know, when we started singing, Florence would do the rock and roll and the rhythm and blues. Diane would do the pop, and I would always just sing the ballads. So I was just like the ballad singer. Never had a lot of opportunity to do that as a Supreme, but I often did. So now I'm saying, hey, it's about time I did what I think I do best.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people of a certain age, I'm 63, I think that you should find that time in life when, yeah, you say, you know what, I've always wanted to do this, let me try it. And then if it doesn't work, at least you've tried doing something. But I'm doing a lot of different things in life. I have a gown collection called the Supremes, Reflections, the Supreme Gown Collections. I have saved all of the Supremes gowns.
Wow.
They will be on exhibit at the Long Island, New York Museum starting in July. For a couple of months. Then they're going to England to the Victoria Museum there in London in 2008, it is. So I'm, yeah.
A touring exhibit of the gowns
of the gowns.
Supremes.
Sans the bodies. Yeah, they're really gorgeous. They're beautiful gowns.
When you think of how the three of you started, you know, elementary school kids in Detroit,
yeah.
And then professionally,
yes.
You know, it wasn't an immediate, you guys were almost kicked out of Motown.
Well, we were called the No Hit Supremes, okay? And because we were the first girl group there, and then comes the Marvelettes. They get this beautiful hit, Please Mr. Postman. Martha and the Vandellas, they come, they get the hits. You know, everyone had hits except us, so they did call us No Hit Supremes. But 1964, yeah, we got them all back, you know? And we had 10 million selling records, 5 consecutive million selling records. That was unheard of in the, you know, so it was the Beatles and the Supremes, number one, number two, number one, number mm-hmm. two, Beatles Supremes, you know.
But the Beatles were white, and you guys were crossing over racial boundaries at a time when that was a really important thing to do.
Well, socially, you know, here in America, how things were. I remember drinking out of water fountains that said for colored only or for white only. And I don't mean the water fountains were colored, you know, with crayons, you know. But, yeah, so we came up at a time when, you know, like I say, socially it was very, very difficult. And we did dare to dream. You know, we made our dreams come true. And that's why you had mentioned earlier to me about that piece of legislation that I'm involved with, the Truth
yeah,
in Music.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that.
And that's why it's important, because we did work hard, you know, against all odds to make ourselves successful. And now
right.
people are trying to steal our names.
Let's back up a bit and
okay.
say what that legislation is
okay.
about. Because you apparently mm-hmm. have spent a lot of your own time and money on this.
It's exactly.
just gotten into the books in the state of Nevada, because
yes.
in Las Vegas,
yes.
you would often have this ridiculous situation of two competing bands in the same town at the same place claiming to be the whoever's.
Yeah, yes. And in fact, you know, not only just in the same time, you can have like a group of coasters in every state in America playing on the same night. Well, I mean, that can't be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whoever recorded that music, say the Supremes music, whoever were the people on that recording are the only ones who, under this law, would be able to call themselves the Supremes. And that's what we're fighting for. And it's not just myself. It's a lot of different artists from the 50s and the 60s. We have the Herb Rita of the Platters. You know, we have all kinds of, we have the Coasters, we have the Drifters, Bill Pinckney. And a lot of us are out there. We've lobbied in Washington. We've gotten that bill passed in at least 10 states. And now the Vocal Group Hall of Fame and some of the other people are going to take it on to do to get it federally passed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very, very, I'm very happy for my involvement. But also from that, I'm involved with Sound Exchange, which is an organization that helps artists to get monies.
Copyright royalties.
Copyright royalties when their music is played on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't get paid when our music is played on the radio. Now, right. at one time, that was good, because if you released a record and the radio played it, then you get that advertising and people go out and buy the record. Well, this has been 40-some years now.
Yeah.
You know, people are not going to run out just because they hear it on the radio. So each time the radio plays it, we want to be paid now. So that's a new thing that I'm involved in. Anything
well,
to help the artists, you know.
And you know, Sound Exchange is already doing that for the internet, much to
yes.
the chagrin of internet broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yes.
you know, there's
yes.
two sides to every story.
But you know, thank you for the internet and for the various companies to come up and do that, you know. So now we got to get the regular radio to
mm-hmm.
do the same thing.
My guest is Mary Wilson of The Real Supremes.
Yes.
Now, how many, were there bands, were there, you know, trios going around billing themselves
as the
Supremes?
I've actually spent a couple $1 million in court system fighting at least five of them. Yes.
Five of them.
Yes. I've had to settle out of court, and I won't even tell you the sum of money that I've had to settle because they won, because there are no laws to protect me.
Hmm. But there were, you know, when it got to the point where you were the only remaining original member of the Supremes, there were at least the new Supremes,
mm-hmm.
you know, back in 1972. I mean,
the
you were still
well,
there, so.
Sure, and that's part of the law. As long as one member was from the original, we could carry on. You know, you got Mike Love, the Beach Boys, you know, who's doing that. As long as he's there and as long as Al is there and his, you know, so you can have two. But you had to have been on those recordings.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here is a recording from that 1972 edition of The Supremes, a big hit for them, called Up the Ladder to the Roof. Mary Wilson, my guest on Soundcheck. The Supremes version 1972
yes.
still had Mary Wilson there yes. singing backup.
Yeah, and that was Jean Terrell out front, who mm-hmm. was just a tremendous singer. She took over from Diane when Diane left, and she was just magnificent. And Cindy Birdsong obviously was there.
How many of these people are still active?
Jean is still performing. Cindy Birdsong is a minister now, so she's mm-hmm. not. But, yeah, Jean is still singing.
And you're out there mm-hmm. Doing your up-close, your ballad show.
Yes.
And Feinstein's at the Lowe's Regency through June 30th. But
correct.
Now you're also a cultural ambassador
ooh.
Is it the State Department?
For the State Department, United States Department, I was appointed by Colin Powell when he was there. I have to say, with the new administration, it's kind of, they haven't sent me out, so I don't know if it's still going. I don't know if I'm still an ambassador or not, but, you know, in my mind, I am.
Well, that State Department could really use some cultural ambassadors right now.
Yeah, I tell you that. But also, being here in New York is great for me because I attended NYU and got my associate's degree in 1922. Oh, no, it wasn't 19. I started in 1995, I think. No, 1997. And I graduated in 2001 from
congratulations.
NYU.
Yeah. What was your degree in?
It's liberal arts. I went to their continuing educational department, and I got it in liberal arts. And so, you know, it was kind of like across the board because I was an elderly person. No one knew who I was in the school. It was amazing. I was able to study, and not one person knew, you know, who I was. Everyone was so young. But anyway, I'm just very happy to say that, you know, I went to NYU. It was great. My associate's degree, so it's great. I was also given a doctorate, an honorary doctorate, by Payne College just recently, and that was quite an honor. So I've been kind of busy making up for when I was young and wild and crazy, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, you were very young when the Supremes got started. And in fact, I mean, you know, the 50th anniversary is going to be coming up in, like, what, 2 years?
Who knew? You remember that? Well, you know, you're not that old. But they used to say that rock and roll wouldn't last. You know, who knew it was going to last all these years? And I'd be a rock and roll grandma. I have 8 grandchildren. And I'm just absolutely.
And how many musical grandchildren do you have? You know, groups out there and say, "Oh yeah, they got a little of our DNA there."
Well, probably one of my grandchildren might have a little of that. So, you know, I'm hoping. But my sons and daughters, they want nothing to do with entertainment. They see me work so hard, and you know, people don't realize this. People see us as stars. Most stars, celebrities, are constantly trying to get the next project, constantly trying to make, you know, we're always so afraid that our show will be canceled. And, you know, so, but people see us just, oh, you've made it. It's like, no, you as long as you're out there, you're still making it, you know. Oh, I've got to tell you this one thing before I forget, because it's being done here in New York. You know, I love New York.
Sounds like a slogan.
That's true. Stop in the name of safety and fasten your seatbelts. I did that when I was living here. But Marion Strong, my literary agent here in New York, is pushing for a coffee table book based on the Supremes' gowns. So we're looking into that.
So there's a book and the museum exhibit
and
of the gowns.
And CDs coming out, too. I have CDs coming out pretty soon.
There's so much to keep track of. Mary Wilson is at Feinstein's at the Regency through June 30th. Mary, it has been a real pleasure
having you here. Thank you so much. Thank you.
That's going to do it for today's show. And as Mary sings us out in the background, tomorrow we look at real estate developers planning to give it a polished look there in Coney Island. But the seedy charm of the neighborhood lives on in the music. We'll find out how Coney Island worked its way into Calliope songs, doo-wop, and even a Lou Reed album. And New York-based folk singer Linda Draper talks about her new album, Keepsake, and plays live. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise, Joel Meyer, and Allison Lichter, with Patrick Rivers and Alicia Abbott. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatau, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. I'm John Schaefer.